never said I should have? Well, it's a pretty obvious, isn't it? You probably know somebody. You're, as Judy said, you're probably one person away from knowing somebody who has cancer or survived cancer or even, unfortunately, was succumbed by cancer. And so perhaps you'd like to participate in Relay for Life. Thank you so much for listening to Good Morning Hunter, and thank you to Michelle and Mike for their contribution to the show. You listen to Good Morning Hunter on HunterChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Thinks that Paul Ryan's a great speaker of the House.
White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus saying President Trump is still a firm backer of House Speaker Paul Ryan despite Friday's failure of the Republican health care bill.
He doesn't blame Paul Ryan. In fact, he thought Paul Ryan worked really hard. He enjoys his relationship with Paul Ryan.
Priebus spoke on Fox News Sunday. Vice President Mike Pence spoke last night to the largest pro-Israel lobbying group in America.
America stands with Israel.
More from USA's Joe Gomez.
Speaking at the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee conference in Washington, D.C., Pence called President Trump a true friend of Israel and assured that he would never compromise on its safety.
Pence also said Trump hopes to move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, a plan Palestinians strongly oppose. This is USA Radio News.
For years, Ovation Cell Therapy has been repairing dry, damaged, flat, lifeless hair. I use Ovation and love it. What are you waiting for? The unique breakthrough cell therapy treatment uses amino acids, key nutrients, and vital proteins to nourish the scalp and treat the hair from root to end. You won't find a treatment like cell therapy in any other hair care line, and it's guaranteed. Whether you have wavy hair, tight curls, flat hair, damaged hair, Ovation has a cell therapy system just right for you. Get your healthy hair back. Now is the perfect time at OvationHair.com.
It's the perfect time to try Ovation Cell Therapy because Ovation is celebrating its 10-year anniversary and they're offering you 15% off everything. But the party ends this week. Go to OvationHair.com and new customers should select USA News at checkout. That's OvationHair.com. Be quick. 15% off ends this week.
A family's personal information shouldn't go to the highest bidder.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer now calling on the U.S. House to block a bill the Senate has already approved that he says would chip away at privacy protections on the Internet.
This vote to dismantle and kill these protections that were put in place by the FCC is a real danger to consumers who for years now have been on the losing end of all these privacy battles.
The legislation would allow Internet providers to give customers information to third parties without the client's consent, but Internet service providers say it's unfair that Google can sell information while they cannot. California Governor Jerry Brown promising to fight against any proposed border wall with Mexico. The Democrat says so yesterday, appearing on NBC's Meet the Press. Meanwhile, an editorial in a weekly newsletter from the Catholic Archdiocese of Mexico says Mexicans who help build a border wall would be considered traitors. This is USA Radio News.
From Samaritan's Purse and Franklin Graham comes Facing Darkness. In 2014, as the Ebola virus was devastating West Africa, international relief organization Samaritan's Purse stepped up.
God has called us to care for the dying, to care for those that are suffering. Jesus Christ didn't run. We run to the fire. We don't run away from it.
Facing Darkness, a true story of faith. In select cinemas for one night only, Thursday, March 30th. For theaters and tickets, go to FacingDarknessMovie.com. That's FacingDarknessMovie.com.
A major fire is raging in Oakland, California. A four-alarmer blazing at what's believed to be an apartment complex in Oakland reported just before 6 a.m. local time. Reports are multiple rescues have been conducted already, and both the roof and the floor have been compromised. An Army veteran accused of killing a man with a 2-foot sword is due in court today in New York City. The self-proclaimed white supremacist James Jackson is accused of traveling from Baltimore to the Big Apple purposely to kill black men there. As soon as he got off a bus, he did allegedly kill 66-year-old Timothy Kaufman, who was looking for cans and bottles in garbage cans at the time. Now Jackson has told the New York Daily News he's sorry for killing the man, but not because he's remorseful. He says he would have preferred to have killed, quote, a young black thug. Former Vice President Joe Biden says he's trying to come to terms with two equally true statements he's made. One, that he does not regret not running for the White House, but the second, he very much regrets not being president.
I don't regret not running in the sense that it was the right decision for my boy, for me, for my family at the time. But do I regret not being president? Yes.
Biden saying on Friday night at New York's Colgate University he was planning to run until his son Beau died in 2015. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Stephen Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Local weather here today at HunterdonChamberRadio.com. We're outside right now is about 42 degrees. There's a little bit of light mist coming down. Today's showers are still likely. High could reach near 60 today. Tonight, chance of showers mainly after 9 o'clock. Patchy fog, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 47. Likely Tuesday, again, some showers in the afternoon and a little patchy fog Tuesday night. Showers likely before 2 a.m. Rain could be heavy, otherwise cloudy, low around 45. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high near 60. Clear on the overnight, low in the 30s. Clear again on Thursday, it looks like, high in the upper 50s, and then cloudy on the overnight. And back into the weekend, slight chance of rain. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hi, welcome to the table. Chef Bill here at the Chef Bill's Table on Mondays or whatever day you choose to listen. We're always on the archives of the station. We get together here to talk about food and beverages and holidays, celebrations, or just oftentimes just good cooking techniques. So this week, today is National Paella Day. Paella, several ways to pronounce it. Glorious dish. We ran it for a while on the menu at Jake's. We've done it for, the owner and I both have done parties with it. We like it, that great one-dish meal. It's nice in the Times over the last weeks of a couple of times. There's dishes related to paella. The one column was about family meal, chicken and rice, which I used to make Sundays at the restaurant, Sunday nights, winding down and catching the end of a football game, and just take, sometimes it was seafood, sometimes it was meats, chicken, sausages, and procedure's always the same. And the nice thing about the paella is it's a procedure. You can be very creative with it. You don't have to rely on a bunch of set ingredients. Actually, there's only three that are important, and that's good rice, some good olive oil, and you need that little pinch of saffron, and of course we like some nice sweet paprika in there also for flavor. Red pepper adds flavor to everything. Is sweet red pepper or hot adds not just for the color but great flavor. So the paella, the origin, of course, in Spain. Now, there's many cultures. If you think of course, our own variation, the jambalaya, and implies that there's at least ham in it, jambon. Difference between the jambalaya and the paella, the jambalaya is normally cooked covered. The paella, ideally, is cooked uncovered. Seems kind of odd that a rice dish, normally we're taught cover it, or you know, you're baking it or cooking on the stovetop. But the paella, and of course risotto, the other great Italian dish, rice-based dish that can take on some substantial garnishes if you like. Oftentimes it's vegetables, but it could very easily be seafood, often used, or some cured meats. Arroz con pollo, think of that. You see that on many menus. And that's, again, the chicken, the meat cooked right in the rice. Now, pilau, P-I-L-A-U, or a variation of that, seems to be across many cultures, European cultures, Mideastern, anywhere, India, Afghanistan, French have pilaf. Pilau is in our southern states where the rice grows. After all, the dish is about rice, so you'll find rice dishes like this done where rice grows naturally. Take rice and bring it to another level. Now, with the pilau, the difference between a pilau and a paella is oftentimes a broth for the rice is made with, let's say, the proteins or the seafood, because then you could use something. I mean, some cultures use goat. You could use any kind. You could stew meats that would normally not be that tender and make a broth, and then use the broth when cooking the rice, and of course add the cooked meat later on. It's one way to, like a make-ahead thing. But the paella, though, I think such a great dish. You can stage certain aspects of it, but you really want to make this all at once. And in restaurant service, of course, we would make the nice saffron rice with the sofrito, the chopped tomato and onion and garlic in it, and maybe some peppers, and cook it halfway, and then finish it with a lot of broth and then meats, seafoods, things like that. Paella, of course, it's one of those dishes also, while we're on, I get off on tangents sometimes, but some of the great dishes of the world that are named, the dish and the cooking vessel are the same. You could think of one that's in France, the terrine, T-E-R-R-I-N-E, not a soup tureen, but a terrine, is pâté, or layered ingredients that are baked and then usually served chilled. And oftentimes when you call something pâté, it really does imply that it's in pastry. And I know the term gets interchanged now. A terrine sometimes is called a pâté, but the terrine is normally lined with some fat, pork fat back, just to kind of keep it compact and easy to get out. And your ground are sliced, usually a combination of ground meats, your force meat, and then some other garnishes in there, and then baked slowly in the oven, and then chilled and sliced. And pâté could be the same mixture, but done in pastry. Think of the cassoulet. The dish is named after the vessel it's cooked in, tagine. Even, I guess, a stretch would be a hot pot. Or even a speedy. Down in the southern tier, Binghamton area, the skewers. The speedy is a skewer. Italians, of course, have spedinis. But the dish is the cooking vessel, which is a skewer. So when you get something that is worthy of having the cooking vessel named after it, I think it's something special. We've got a break for a couple of messages. We'll get into the basics of paella. You know, a decent recipe for a grand mixture of things. Initially, it was a very simple dish, but it's grown to be many things, many versions. And then from these pilafs and pilaus and dishes like that, arroz con pollo, the Spaniards, of course, have made it their own and really taken it to another level. So we're going to break for messages, and we'll be back at the table and celebrate Paella Day, or this week, or anytime. It's a great dish. Be right back.
You tell yourself you're not. At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambi's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambi's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambi's Purely Delicious.
See now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
All right, we're back at the table here. Chef Bill's table is going to talk about paella. So the origin in Spain, in the Levant, the region of Valencia, Murcia. Murcia is kind of like, I guess, the garden of Spain. A lot of vegetables there, although there is a meat pastry that is famous there, Pastel Marciano. Made a vegetable version of that. It's a double crust pie. And you can do this layered with vegetables cooked down. Of course, the juices soak into the crust there and served at room temperature. You can find a recipe for it. They say more commonly out there is the meat ones, but the vegetable even could put a little sliced hard cooked egg if you like. But we're going to do today a tortilla Marciano. Later we're going to recommend that as maybe a little first course or tapa for our comida. Comida. Lunch is when paella is normally served. The rice probably originated in the woods. It was not the grand seafood fest. There are several names for it. If you just use seafood, a seafood paella, you could just have meats. You could actually do vegetables, which if you have a mixed crowd that have different dietary concerns, might be a way to go. If you make a vegetable paella and then offer some grilled or skewered meats or seafood on the side, I've served the paella at even cookouts where you have your grilled rib. I always like some grilled shrimp and some barbecued ribs. Going to kind of combine some cultures there. Make a big pan of paella and then have some nice smoky ribs and some shrimp alongside of it. Works pretty well. So the origin, though, the original ones probably were, you'll see ingredients, could be snails, could be frog legs, some beans, obviously, things that would grow. Never see really mushrooms in them, though. But artichoke hearts always work in there. A lot of people, you know, maybe not like them, but it does help kind of brown the vegetables and rice a little bit. Normally there's some peas scattered around there, some roasted pepper strips, you've seen pictures. And the nice thing with the paella, unlike other dishes that you're going to stir and stir and stir, you can't do that. Just like with jambalaya, if you stir it too much, the rice gets very gluey and it's not going to work. Once the liquid comes to the boil with the rice in there, this way you can arrange a paella very nicely, because you can put your meats or poultry, seafood, whatever you want, kind of just place them around there, and that's where they're going to stay. So a couple of things, of course, the paella pan, we have a few sizes. We have some 9.5-inch ones that we serve in, and with the depth, probably a 9.5-inch pan would be ample for two people. If you were looking to go larger for people, you probably need a 12-inch pan. And the paellas are not that deep. They've got a sloping side. They're steel. The heat gets through pretty quickly. So on a burner on a stove, you may have a little hot spot there. This is why we like to cook them over an outdoor fire. It could be, you know, it could be a gas grill is kind of difficult because it's rectangular and the pan is round. You have to keep kind of shifting it around. A good old circular grill with either hardwood or charcoal in there really seems to work the best. Now, if you have more people, you go up to a 14 or a 15-inch or 16-inch pan, you could serve 12 people, and it seems, oh, we've only got a couple of inches in diameter. How come it holds so many more? But the volume is where it really starts to increase. We have a 26-inch paella that I've made food in there for 25 people or 30, depending on, you know, appetites and what else you're serving with it. But when that thing, you put a lot of rice in there, once it cooks up, it's pretty impressive. You know, you're talking, you know, 5 to 6, maybe 5 quarts of rice in there. It's really the way to, you know, outdoors is with the big one, large paella. That's the way to go. It's a steel pan. It's got two handles on it. And I'm saying when the big one, when it's full, you need two people to lift it because you've got to steady it. You want to make sure it doesn't spill. If you're doing it outside, make sure your grill is level. That's one thing I learned the first time we tried it. We didn't think to level the grill. And, of course, everything's fine when you're sautéing the meats and the chicken. Once you put the liquid in there, and even if it's off a little bit, that liquid, you don't want it spilling over the side. You don't want to lose that precious broth. And it's a mess anyway. So make sure your grill is level. And the other thing to make sure the fire and the coals keep burning is it has to somehow be a couple of inches off the top of the grill. Usually your grates there are set, kind of inset in there. You need to, if you have a way to raise it up, that's fine. Or even putting a couple of bricks in there, get and even and you could use a stove grate, just something to keep that pan so the fire has ample air. Otherwise, it will get smothered. It will go out. And you need, you know, a good half hour on the fire to finish cooking this thing. Many recipes call for doing in the oven, which is fine. If I was doing it in the oven, when we used to finish them off at Jake's, we would not cover them. We would bake them open in the oven. And with the steel pan, of course, what happens with the higher heat, you get a little light crust of the rice, the sukkarat, and that's considered a delicacy. So if the rice does stick a little bit at the bottom of the pan, you you scrape it off, and that's like the crispy edges around, say, a lasagna or a macaroni and cheese or something. You know, that browned pasta or rice product really has a nice flavor. So we have our pan, we have our fire. Nice thing, again, doing this outside is you don't have to bring a bunch of cooked food that you have to worry about keeping hot, keeping cold. You just bring ingredients. And in your ice cooler, you know, have your proteins, your vegetables can be prepped and put them in freezer bags or plastic bags all ready to go. Meats and seafood trimmed, cut, ready to go. And you need, I mean, if you can use broth or seriously, with all the flavors you're putting there, you could use water, make sure you add some salt and pepper, and still come out with a very good product because you're going to make what's called a sofrito. You're going to saute your meats. If you're making a mixed version, you've got seafood going and you've got a lot of flavors going on. So if you don't want to carry cans of broth, don't worry about it. Just make sure you have some water. Now, the rice, of course, key thing here, and varying opinions on it. When I first was going to make it, I asked actually a colleague of mine, Spanish descent. I said, well, what do you use when you make paella? He says, you know what? He says, we use the Uncle Ben's converted rice, the long grain. And most of the, if you read recipes, books, they call for a medium or a short grain rice. They say don't use the long grain rice. But the converted rice is pretty foolproof. We've had good results with it. And I wouldn't, you know, if you can't find the exact rice you want, or if you want to try it the first time, it's not, you know, it's not the end of the world. To a purist, it would probably be heresy. But, you know, the first time, take something that's kind of guaranteed. Usually the rice, it's called bamba rice, short grain rice, and apparently, you know, it could be difficult to find or actually a little more expensive. But arborio, which was a surprise to me, arborio, I always think of the creamy risotto, but a lot of that comes more from stirring the way the process of the risotto rather than just boiling it. If you just boil arborio rice and don't stir it, you're going to still have the distinct kernels there. The thing with paella, you don't want the creamy, starchy finish to it like a risotto gets. You want it, the grains to be intact. Now, a medium grain, a good compromise, or halfway point, let's say. I wouldn't say compromise, but the Carolina medium grain rice would be good for this, and probably have seen that a lot in the stores. Or a Goya. I think Goya makes a product that's good for paella or arroz con pollo. So the shorter medium grain rice, again, if you're confident with your rice skills, thing with the shorter grain, if you're using the bamba or the short grain, you'll need a little, the ratio of water to rice kind of changes. When you're using your long grain rice, of course, it's 2-1. When you get to the shorter grain rice, it could be 2.5 or almost 3 times the water. They're going to absorb more. And you have to remember this, too, because when you're cooking the paella, you can add liquid after the fact if you need to. Just resist the urge to stir it. As I said, you don't want it to get starchy. But really measuring, I guess, after enough experience, you can kind of go by eye how much liquid you put in there. Probably better to be a little bit undercooked than overcooked in this case. A little bit al dente rice, like risotto, is normally served in the paella. It's not terrible. You've got enough flavor in there, and the rice, actually, some people prefer that. The rice be a little bit undercooked rather than mushy and overcooked. Now the saffron, and here's where some expense can come in, but you don't need very much. If you're cooking for, say, paella for six people, you might need, you know, 8 or 10 little threads. They're the stamen from the crocus. They're hand-gathered. Very, very expensive, but again, a little goes a long way. We like to put the saffron in some hot liquid ahead of time and let it steep like tea so it draws out more flavor. If you do add it directly to the paella, of course, you would do that right when you put your water or broth in. And at that point, I do like to stir the rice just to make sure that there's no clumps of rice that didn't get liquid around them. But once that rice is hydrated, let's say, that's when you leave it on, you spread it around and let the fire do its thing. But steeping the saffron opens it up, and you'll find it really gives that haunting bitterness to the rice and the beautiful yellow color. The other ingredient, of course, good Spanish paprika, and we like to add those in early on when we saute the rice. Again, give it some color, some flavor. You'll start with a what's called a sofrito, and in different cultures, there's always this nice base mixture that you start with everything. Mirepoix in French, sofrito in Spanish or Italian cuisine, and Central South American. Always has onions, obviously. The Trinity down in New Orleans or Louisiana, that's the onion, celery, and pepper. Mirepoix is onions, carrots, and celery. The sofrito, basically onion and some garlic and tomato. And you can use a good old large fresh tomato. You take the seeds out, and if you like to skin it, you can. And those are diced, and these are cooked till the liquid's gone. You should be able to mound it up with a spoon. I've added peppers in there for flavor, if you like, but basically the onion, garlic, and tomato. And you want it to caramelize a little bit. And even if you're trying to stage this, say, for a night's meal, you could actually make and cook your sofrito ahead of time and save it. We've got a break for news in the half hour, and we'll be back and start cooking this paella.
Things he wants to accomplish. He's not going to sit and wait for Congress to sit around and do the right thing.
President Trump's budget director, Mick Mulvaney, saying the Trump administration's moving on to other things like tax cuts now and away from health care following Friday's defeat of the House GOP health care bill. Mulvaney telling NBC's Meet the Press the administration's now going to allow Obamacare to collapse and let the Democrats take the blame.
When it breaks, and it's going to break, they will come back to us.
The Senate Judiciary Panel is expected to approve the nomination of Neil Gorsuch to the United States Supreme Court today and then refer Gorsuch to the full Senate for confirmation. Democrats, though, still maneuvering to block the confirmation through a filibuster. In Cincinnati, Ohio, still no arrests made for the nightclub shooting that kills one and wounds 15 early Sunday. This is USA Radio News.
And now, Jonathan Cahn opens up today's mystery from the Book of Mysteries.
In the Book of Mysteries, the teacher is turning the pages of a large black book with the images of the great empires of history. It begins to open up the Chaldean mystery, the ancient law from Genesis 12 that's determined world history for 4,000 years. Second millennium BC, the great Egyptian empire turns against the children of Israel. The empire suddenly collapses and never rises again. It's the late 1930s. The great British empire turns against the Jewish people in their hour of need. The British Empire suddenly collapses to virtually nothing. After that, it's America that's most blessed the Jewish people in Israel. And what nation of modern times has been the most blessed nation on earth? What does it tell you? God is real. You can depend on him. His word is true. His promises are sure. And before his faithfulness, the kingdoms of this world are nothing.
That was just a taste of the Book of Mysteries. Now available online and wherever books are sold. And at mysteriesbook.com. That's mysteriesbook.com.
Getting on with our paella here at Chef Bill's Table, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So we have our pan, we have our rice, we built our fire, and with it, sometimes when they're done in the woods, of course, I saw even a, I think, somebody's in Spain, they even at a winery, they just use some grapevines, just a real quick fire, oftentimes in the woods, and the flames kind of lick the pan, and you get a little bit of the smoke flavoring in there, and it's all part of it. So but we'll use our hardwood or our charcoal. So we have some good olive oil. We have our paprika, saffron. So now, say for six people. So you get maybe 2 cups of the short grain rice, and you'll need about 5 cups of water or broth, 1/2 cup of a good olive oil, and you'll need some diced onion, about 1/2 cup or so of diced onion. You can dice some peppers if you want in there, but if you're going to garnish with roasted peppers, then you don't necessarily need them in there. Good large tomato, and we'll skin and seed it and chop it, and about 3 little cloves of garlic minced up. If you like a little more, that's fine. So we have our little sofrito. Of course, your ingredients, just like when you're doing a stir fry or anything, you want your ingredients ready. So what we like is a boneless, skinless chicken thighs. You can use chicken parts, which a lot of recipes called for, or chicken wings or chicken legs, something with the skin on if you like that flavor and texture. If you want to keep a little bit of the fat out of there, then the skin, the boneless, skinless chicken thighs work very well. Pork loin or pork tenderloin cubes would be well, do well in there. If you want to make this without seafood, then I would say do about 1 pound of the chicken thighs and cut them into good-sized cubes, and maybe 1/2 pound of pork tenderloin cubes. And then we needed some good chorizo, which is a smoked, dried Spanish sausage. You could use another kind of sausage if you like, a garlic sausage, but the chorizo, really, with that red pepper in there and this the wine's, you know, nice fermented sausage, a little firm. You do need to... You can serve that sliced thinly, just like you would salami or pepperoni. But we like to cut it into, say, some discs and cut those in half, maybe, or cut the sausage in half and cut some half moons out of it. So if you're doing a mixed one with seafood, 1/2 pound of chorizo is nice. If you're not doing seafood, I would add more sausage or even a different sausage. Now, the sausage, of course, is it's dried and cured, so you're not really cooking it more, but you're really using it to release the flavor. And of course, cooking and heating in the broth is going to make it a little more tender. As far as vegetables, peas are normally thought of. You can have some of those. I like the artichoke hearts in there. If you don't like them, you can leave them out. Green beans would be fine. You know, a half cup of each. And if you're doing a little arranging on there, the roasted pepper strips are always nice. And these vegetables you can put in kind of toward the end. Traditionally, the beans would go in early. And, of course, if you're out in the field, you're getting broad beans or things like that that you're cooking whole. It would take a little longer anyway. But if you're using something that's already prepped, like, say, frozen peas, they don't take that long to cook. You want to keep them nice and green. So when we start, we brown the poultry or the pork. Oh, and by the way, if you're using some seafood, let's say for six people, figure six shrimp, and in the shell is better. Get a little more flavor. Six clams, six mussels, and if you like lobster, maybe a 1.5-pound lobster cut into some pieces, or even a couple of lobster tails. I would cut them, leave them in the shell, and just cut right across the shell. You want that shell cooking in there to color and flavor the liquid. So we have our fire. You have your rice ready, of course. So we brown our chicken and or our pork in olive oil. You don't need flour, just a little salt and pepper, and brown the meats. You put that aside on a platter. And then I like to, and the chorizo you could put in there after you brown the meats, render a little bit of the fat out of the chorizo. You're doing this in olive oil. And then when the chorizo's in, now we're going to add our ingredients for our sofrito with our chopped onions, a little bit of chopped pepper if you like, the diced tomato, and the garlic. And you're going to let this cook till, as I say, the liquid kind of evaporates out. You want it to be fairly thick. Once your sofrito is cooked, then we add our rice. I like to coat the rice with the oil. And again, you're over a live fire, so you want everything ready because you're going to need to work fairly quickly. If you're in the house, it's a little bit different. You can control the flame a little bit better. And remember, just like when you're cooking anything outdoors, if the fire gets a little bit too hot, what I always like, whatever kind of barbecue, I like to have a table off to the side that's big enough to hold whatever I have on the grill. If I have to lift it off for some reason, if it's getting out of control, just get it off the fire. And then you stop and you reassess what you're doing and put it back on. Always a good little safety net there, a little hint from somebody who's cooked a lot outdoors. Always have that side table where you can put things if you have to. So once your rice is coated with the oil, now you're going to add your liquid. And you want to give it a quick stir just so everything's dispersed properly. And then start placing your other ingredients back in the paella. You can arrange things again. If you have chicken parts, you might want to put like spokes on a wheel, or you put your seafood. Your shellfish, if you're using it, the hinge side would be down so they can kind of pop open. And if you like, your seafood could go in a little bit later, like when the rice, after about maybe 10 minutes, the rice is about half cooked. Depending on, if you don't mind them cooked a little longer, I know I've made jambalayas where the seafood goes in early, and when it's stewed for a long time, it's still nice and tender. So, up to you. If you like your seafood a little bit later. And then, of course, your cooked vegetables or blanched vegetables, if you're using the blanched peas and canned artichokes and whatever, they can go in toward the end also. And you're going to let this cook uncovered. You want to resist the urge to stir it. And as a chef, I'm telling you, it's the hardest thing to do because we're used to checking and tasting and, playing with the food all the time, and really you don't want to walk away. You want to keep an eye on it, but somebody should tie your hands behind your back so you don't touch it. If it looks like it's boiling too hard, then we say lift it off the fire, spritz the fire with some water, which is another tool I like to have when I'm cooking over live fires, a little spray bottle with water that you can calm the fire down a little bit. That's kind of your temperature gauge. It's not going to put the fire out. Don't worry. Just spritz it. Let it calm down. Put the pan back on. And the other nice thing when you're cooking something like this, there's so much residual heat in that pan that say your fire dies out and it's not quite done. You just put a little bit of aluminum foil over it and let it sit, and the rice will finish off. When we do our peel off at Jake's in the oven, we only do it half an hour. Part of the thing is that carryover cooking that's nice and hot comes out of the oven. We leave it sealed up for at least half an hour to make sure all the liquid gets absorbed. And trust me, it will. Especially if you use the shorter grain rice, it's going to absorb everything. So now we have our paella finished, and it's going to take you, 25, 30 minutes at least. What you can do and not stir, but you can check the rice for doneness. And as I said, if it seems early on that you just know in your mind, like, oh, it doesn't look like enough liquid, add a little bit more liquid, kind of spread it around. But otherwise, just check it. And the rice can be a little al dente. Again, you need the resting time afterwards anyway. And whether you cover it tightly or cover it loosely, if you don't need to finish cooking, just kind of drape it. Just let it settle out. And this is when you can put your salad together. Normally, and of course, the paella is the ultimate in communal eating. Everybody traditionally would just sit around and work from the outside in. Take what's around the outside for, and everybody just takes what they want. And you can, put it on a plate, or in Spain, family would eat right out of the vessel. So why, again, it was good for out in the woods. You don't have to bring a bunch of stuff. All you need is a spoon, right? And a nice classic way of serving it. Of course, if you want to serve a salad, which I would recommend, simple bib lettuce, or it could be butter lettuce, or even iceberg hearts, something nice and light green, crunchy. Some cucumber, tomato, radishes would be great in there. A few capers, whether they're the buds or even caper berries, or olives, anything like that. Good Spanish olives. And then simple olive oil, vinegar, salt, and pepper. Just simple, simple, simple. Red wine, vinegar, some of your good olive oil. Just lightly dressed salad. So what you do is you would take a plate and turn it over in the middle of the paella. And on top of that plate, you would set your salad bowl so people could reach salad and have it with their rice. So the plate does two things. It keeps the salad from wilting, and it keeps the center of the paella hot. So if somebody, say you're finished your portion, do you want to go back for a little bit more? Now your rice has been kept warm. So classic way to, put it on the table, put it on the counter, and have at it. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back at the table.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Back at the table here, winding down. So our pie, our mixed pie is ready to go. And if you're doing this inside, of course, your skillet on the stovetop. You could do it if you want to do it in a larger casserole. You just don't want it too deep. You want it to be not more than a couple of inches or so. You want this spread out. You don't want the, it's not like a a pilau would be something different. You know, a deeper pot, even a risotto, you might use a deeper pot. You want something spread out. You can finish it in the oven. As I said, we used to finish them uncovered. Some recipes will call for you to cover it up, but really, I like it uncovered. It's you want that rice to, again, not be too soft, too mushy. Now, if you're making just a vegetable one, probably, you know, six people, you know, have about maybe 3 pounds of vegetables. You could have them diced or sliced. You want to make them uniform thickness, or if they're vegetables that cook at different rates, you may want to blanch some of them first, say if you had some carrots in there. But you want to, you know, squashes, zucchinis, peppers, tomatoes, as I said, artichokes, peas, green beans. You could probably put a nice, even if you wanted to put some cooked dried beans in there. Wouldn't be terrible if you wanted a little bit of protein in there, if you wanted to make strictly vegetarian. But as I said, if you have a mixed crowd that, you know, somebody can't have seafood or somebody can't have meat or doesn't want it or doesn't want pork, you can always do your meats separately and make a nice vegetable paella. Now, what to have before? Now, normally lunch, you know, would be a simple meal, but I always like to have something ahead of time. And as I said in the past, I've done the vegetable pie. But an even easier thing to do would be the tortilla. And, of course, the famous Spanish tortilla, it's not something you wrap food up here. It's an omelet. And the classic is, of course, the potato, universal, served in tapas bars everywhere and served room temperature. The nice thing, a tortilla like this, you could, of course, make it ahead and take it with you. Say you were doing this for a cookout. You don't have to. In fact, oftentimes people would keep that in their fridge just like anything else. Frittatas in Italy is similar. An artichoke, you know, we used to make an artichoke frittata that was served cool, not piping hot. Cut into wedges. I've done them for even my Christmas party, you know, with one of the hors d'oeuvres. Make a, you could call it frittata, tortilla, whatever, but just small baked omelets, like a quiche without a crust, I guess. You could think of it like that, and not quite as custardy. Cut into little cubes or triangles, makes a nice little hors d'oeuvre. So in your 10 or 12-inch, even a 10-inch would probably give you enough for six people. You probably need six eggs. Again, some olive oil. Sauté some vegetables, and probably for this you want to keep it simple. You'd, you know, have a little bit of onion. You could have some diced plum tomato, but some zucchini or yellow squash would be nice in there. If you wanted a little bit of, if you wanted to cut some green beans up, if you want a little bit of broccoli. But sauté these vegetables. You want to get them fairly cooked, and then you're going to add your eggs. Make sure the vegetables are dispersed, and basically you're just going to take this tortilla and you could bake it in the oven at that point if you have your oven-proof handle on your skillet or your omelet pan. Or you could do it on the top of the stove, which I've done. And to turn it over, if you want to do your broiler to do the top, you could do that. But to turn it over, I'd slide it onto a plate that is the same diameter as the pan. And then you invert the pan over the plate. Using two mitts, you kind of flip it back over. You're turning the whole tortilla over to finish the other side. And you don't want to cook it till it's dry. You want it a little moist, and then slide it back onto the plate and let it cool off. And you can slice it into wedges. As I said, chilled down, it would be a nice accompaniment to, or a prelude to the paella. If you want a sauce, which, you know, a lot of people might, depending on the vegetables that are in there, you may want a, could be a romesco, could be an aioli. Even if it was vegetables that didn't include tomato, you could do a little fresh concasse, or a little, you almost want to call it a salsa. Or I just like it the way it is. And we're not really putting cheese in these, which I guess is another, we always think omelets should have cheese. But these, really, you don't need cheese. If you want to serve cheese alongside, it's fine. But the tortilla, I've made the classic potato one, is nice with the onions. It's quite a bit of potato in there. But a unique way to do it, Ferran Adria's book, he crushes up kettle-cooked potato chips in the eggs. I might have mentioned this on a previous show, but just the result was so great. You let the chips kind of soak in the egg for a little while. You could still add some sautéed onion if you like. And just make your tortilla with that, and it gives it that full potato flavor. You don't need to add salt, of course, because the chips are salty. But if you're frying potatoes anyway, his premise was, well, I'm frying them anyway, so why can't I just use an already fried potato? And the kettle, you need the thicker cut, the kettle chips. But even a simple tortilla like that would be a great start. You have your salad that's in the middle, and you really can have a nice lunch. As I said, I've served it in combination with things, but it could be the main event at a party. And again, if you're doing something, say you're going to somebody's house or you want to cook outdoors, you don't have to bring a lot of pans of food. It's just everything's there. You've got your vegetables, your proteins, your rice. Make your simple salad and your tortilla alongside of it. And whatever you're having for dessert after. Normally, I mean, after a nice meal like that, a nice fresh fruit would be the way to go. So as I said, once you learn your procedure with this, then you can get really, you know, you're not tied to the market. As I said, you need good rice, you need good olive oil. I like the saffron. If you want to change up the flavor, I know I've made the yellow rice with a little turmeric and paprika. Different flavor, does color it yellow, but the saffron is well worth it, and it holds up well. We always keep a tin in the drawer at the restaurant for those occasions where we need it, and you just... Trust me, you just don't need that much. But once you get your method down, and again, proportions, as I said, you know, a smaller pan, fewer people. If a 9.5-inch pan will do enough for two, but if you're doing one, if you've got, you know, 12 or 15 people to feed at a cookout, you get yourself a nice big paella, and you'll really, it's entertainment, too. I know when I did one, we had 70 people at my brother's house. And it was, you know, along with some other foods, of course, but once you get that going and it has aroma, you know, people are standing around watching it cook. It's just, and it's a meal in less than an hour. Think of it, fresh cooked food in less than an hour, wherever you are, whether you're in your own kitchen or out in the woods or at the beach. Build a fire and let her rip. Chef Bill, we got to sign off. We're getting toward the end of the hour here, and we'll be back next week, find another good topic to talk about, and keep cooking. Enjoy the week.